The scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Listen for the word of God. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people who walk upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See the former things that have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The word of the Lord.
Our second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, beginning at the first verse. And I've already alluded to it in our children's message. Hear now the word of God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for your holy word. And as we reflect upon it this morning, we ask that your spirit work within us and amongst us so that we may understand and appreciate what we have heard. Amen. Years ago, there was a comic strip that counted down the 12 days of Christmas. During the 12 days leading up to Christmas, each day portrayed yet another disaster in the family's preparations for Christmas morning. And after Christmas morning, the comic strip's author gave a panel that showed everyone collapsed and exhausted from the chaos of the celebration. And perhaps that is your pattern for Christmas, to collapse on Christmas Day, exhausted from all the house cleaning, present shopping, family traveling, neighborhood partying, tree decorating, overtime working, friends visiting, food serving, gift opening, and probably a few dozen other things. Maybe for you, Christmas comes just in time to prevent a complete breakdown. And then, thank goodness, it's over. And you can finally get some rest. And on the day after Christmas, you can begin to take everything down and put everything away and get back to normal. The modern celebration of Christmas that I have loosely described turns out to be the exact opposite of the way Christmas used to be celebrated. There was a time when nothing was decorated until Christmas Eve. Even the Christmas tree was purchased or cut down on Christmas Eve, and it appeared with presents on that very night, the night before Christ was born. The Christmas celebrations then began on Christmas Eve and lasted well past Christmas Day. In fact, that is where we get our Christmas song, the 12 days of Christmas. They're not the 12 days leading up to Christmas, they're the 12 days that follow Christmas. And the song tells about each of the special gifts that the true love will give on each of the 12 days after Christmas. And if you go by the numbers, the biggest gift is given not on Christmas Day, but on the 12th day of Christmas, when he gives 12 drummers drumming. Now, I am not sure that 12 drummers drumming is actually the best gift one could receive, but that's another discussion. But it is the 12th day, and there are 12 drummers coming, and the most and best gifts, when you count them out, comes on that 12th day, which turns out to be January 6th on the calendar. Today, of course, is January 7th, which makes yesterday January 6th, the day that the church calls Epiphany, the day which begins the season of Epiphany, which lasts until Lent begins on Ash Wednesday. And the season of Epiphany directs our attention to the manifestation or the appearance of God in the world. Epiphany also marks the arrival of the wise men in Bethlehem. Despite what most every nativity scene in the world shows, the wise men were not there when the shepherds were there. No, the wise men arrived later. Matthew tells us that when they arrived in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph had already moved out of the stable into a house, which would be as expected. Mary and Joseph would not have stayed in that barn any longer than they had to. And hospitality being what it was at the time, someone would take in a new mother and child, so that she could better care for that infant child. We don't really know much about the wise men themselves. The original word translated as wise men in our Bible is magi in Greek. Scholars tell us that the word referred to men who were scholars in the king's court. We might call them experts or professors today. Anyway, they spent their lives studying the world and the heavens, and they hoped that that knowledge that they gained by studying the night skies and other physical phenomena would tell them what was happening in the world. And so it would make sense that they would spot something unusual in the night sky. An unusual star appears one night and causes these magi to recalculate their ideas about the universe. Clearly, something special is happening, but they're not quite sure what. The Magi assume that a new king has been born. In his commentary on this passage, Christian author Raymond Brown observes that ancient historians often interpreted the skies through the births and deaths of famous people. He said that the Roman historian Suetonius, for instance, claimed that the birth of Augustus was predicated by an unusual portent in the heavens. Emperor Nero became so alarmed when a comet appeared in the sky that he ordered the deaths of notable people in his realm. So it was clear to these wise men that this unusual star was connected to the birth of a new ruler. And Matthew tells us that they knew that this new king would be king of the Jews. But that's all they seemed to know. They didn't know where the child was to be born. They didn't know what the royal line of this child was. The Magi had no idea about these things. Their knowledge was incomplete. And as the author and radio personality Garrison Keillor, himself an intriguing theologian, he once said on his radio show, "If you get your guidance by following a star, the directions are going to be a little vague." What they did do is went out and sought the answer to what they didn't know. They knew enough that they didn't know enough. And that is perhaps the lesson of this story. The wise men didn't know everything, but they were wise enough to know where to seek answers. And that is the lesson for us this morning. Where do we turn to get our answers? As we enter the new year, we can't help but wonder what the new year will bring. For some of us, maybe all of us, what happens and what the new year will bring is very personal. Some of us are facing health issues that need to be addressed. Maybe we have a nagging pain that we are wondering about and trying to decide if it's serious enough to go to the doctor. Maybe we've been to the doctor and we are awaiting test results, waiting to see is it cancer or something else. Some of us are wondering about our jobs. Will we get that promotion this year? Or maybe it's the other way. Will I get laid off? And if we aren't wondering about our personal lives, we have plenty to wonder about in the state of the world. What will happen in the Middle East or the Ukraine? Will there be some other hot spot that will bring us to the brink of war? What else will the new year bring in terms of the world events? And of course, we have worries about our own country as well, as we wonder what will happen as we go through an election year. It's a lot of wondering with no clear answers. And then there's what is happening right here in our church. We have a lot to wonder about here as well. We enter 2024 facing a situation that this church has not faced in over 25 years, the retirement of your pastor. And if there wasn't enough uncertainty in the world, we'll just add that one to the pile. So we wonder and we question and we ponder and we ask ourselves, where do we turn for answers? And maybe we do what the Magi did. They said, "We have seen an unusual star out there in the night skies, and we believe that it tells us that a new Jewish king has been born somewhere." So they went to the palace, because that's where kings usually come from, isn't it? Unfortunately, the old king was still sitting on the throne in that palace, and he wasn't too excited about the news of a new king. And he wasn't well versed in how you might go about finding a new king. But fortunately, the king, and fortunately for the Magi, there are religious people on the old king's payroll. And they know about the Bible and what the scriptures reported about Israel's new leader. And so the chief priests and the scribes go to the temple and they open up the scrolls, and there they read the announcement that the new king will be born in Bethlehem and is a descendant of King David. And in that, we catch a glimpse of how we can address those experiences of our life that trouble us, that worry us, that cause us to wonder. And in so doing, we learn about a deeper faith in God. Like the wise men, we bring the things that we experience in the outside world into the sanctuary of faith. And in here, our experiences are interpreted by a God who loves us and works in all our lives. In the community of faith, we can address the questions that we have, and if not find full answers, at least find ourselves pointed in a good direction. In this place, we share what we know about God with each other, and together we build a better understanding of God and our world. What is going on with the story of the Magi? The wise men arrive pondering the mysteries they see in the world, and in the process they discern that God is doing something. And yet they are not certain what and where and how this all might be happening. So they go to the place where that knowledge and understanding of God is kept. It is in the scriptures that the answers lie, and it is in the community of believers that the answers are understood. What they do with that additional knowledge is they go and they worship. That's what the new year brings for us, folks. The opportunity to engage the community of faith, to engage the scriptures, and to worship is the invitation that God makes to each of us, that we too engage the scriptures, that each of us becomes the community of faith, and we seek the answers we seek together. We are invited to take some time this year and learn about God and the love God has for us. It is from this basis that we can better understand the world we are in. We can take what we are dealing with in that world that seems so uncertain and shape our response, knowing that we are loved and guided by a loving, caring, omnipotent God who is manifest among us as a child. Happy Epiphany, everybody.